It is Monday morning, and we're going to begin with the agenda this morning because our to-do list is also our most important headline. Still to do is approve this debt ceiling deal and avoid default, the deal that President Obama announced late last night. We're joined now by Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio, our co-producer, and also Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, have you had any sleep?
Very little. How about, very little. Okay. It's been a long weekend.
We'll go with that. Hopefully, Todd, this deal is going to get approved by the House and Senate without much problem, and you'll be sleeping soon. What are the chances?
Well, that's what they need to go for. Without much problem part is not a problem in the Senate. They'll get 70 or 75 votes for this deal. The place to watch now and into tomorrow is the House of Representatives. Speaker John Boehner needs to shop this deal around Republicans. He can't afford to lose that many. And then the question is, how many votes from Nancy Pelosi for a deal that includes no increases in revenue, only cuts across the board, $2.4 trillion in cuts over 10 years? I had a bit of time with Nancy Pelosi last night as she emerged from her office. And if you want to know how excited she is to provide votes, listen to the Democratic leader right here. Listen to Pelosi from last night.
We'll all have to take a look, and we all may not be able to support it, or none of us may be able to support it, but we'll wait and see, and we're open to what comes down because, again, the stakes are very high here.
Yes, they are. But Todd, let's quickly go over kind of what's actually in this plan, because it looks like they've borrowed from a number of plans that we've already seen before, one of which means that this $900 billion increase in the debt ceiling is up for a disapproval vote by Congress.
Correct.
Which will then be could be vetoed by Obama. Isn't that part of Mitch McConnell's plan?
It sure is. In fact, what this plan really is a hybrid of John Boehner's plan that passed the House a couple of days ago and Mitch McConnell's. There are not a lot of Democratic fingerprints on this at all, except for the fact that the debt limit increases that are included in here really only happen once in a major way.
There's one big Democratic fingerprint on it, right?
Which is what, John?
Obama.
Yeah. Well, the only victory Obama can claim is that he doesn't have to refight the debt limit fight before the election. That was his final bottom line, and he got that. So, Celeste, here's exactly how it works. You get an increase in the debt limit right away of $400 billion. That happens immediately after this thing is signed into law. There's a second $500 billion that brings you to $900 billion that, you're right, is subject to congressional disapproval. That's a little complicated. All it means in the end is that the president will be able to unilaterally raise the debt limit, and members of Congress don't have to vote for it again. In fact, all the Republicans can vote against it and get a little bit of a political boost, but that's not really a big deal. Now, along with this debt limit increase is about $917 billion in cuts from discretionary spending and a little bit of defense spending over the next 10 years. Then, when you get to the fall, that you mentioned in the opening of the show, this committee that's appointed, six Republicans and six Democrats, they have to come up with at least $1 trillion of new spending cuts, at least $1.2 trillion. That's the rules. If they don't do it, if they don't get at least $1.2 trillion, we have enforcement mechanisms. On the Hill, they call them triggers to try to force this committee and force Congress to come up with these cuts. The triggers, if you don't come up with the spending, include across the board spending cuts, basically a meat axe to the federal budget that Democrats will hate because it will cut all kinds of programs they support, including parts of Medicare. Not beneficiary benefits.
But it also makes cuts to Pentagon, so that the Republicans. But
get Republicans to the table, that's right.
Exactly. And although that's not just cuts, the president is hoping that committee comes up with some increases in revenue through tax raises. But Charlie, obviously the market is reacting happily to the news that we may not default. But in later days, they're going to get a better look at this plan, and then we'll see how they feel about what actually is in it.
Like so many things, like when we had the budget that was agreed to back in April, we thought that there were much bigger cuts in it, and then when they actually got a chance to look at what was in there, the cuts were not as big as expected. So I think that is definitely one of the things we're going to have to look at, is once more the details come out, how big are these cuts? How much are we seeing accounting gimmickry going into this? And in terms of the markets, yeah, we're seeing a boost this morning. Markets are up in Asia. The U.S. markets appear to be up. But that's today. And later this week, we get the jobs figure, and the focus will go back to what's going on with the economy. And if you look at that, and if the numbers aren't good, you could see the markets drop back down again. Are we really addressing the more substantive issues, like what are we doing about getting economic growth to be stronger?
And in fact, there are already economists who are reacting negatively to the idea that this is going to be the lowest amount of federal spending versus income in a very, very long time.
This gets to the issue of in previous times when we've had recessions or we've had economic difficulty and people pull back spending or private enterprise doesn't hire or doesn't spend as much, that the government steps in and basically spends to try and keep the economy going. Now, a lot of people disagree with the government doing this, but we saw last week when we saw those government – the GDP figures, the government spending had dropped dramatically and the economic growth had dropped. So the question here is if the government's pulling back, if consumers are pulling back, if the Federal Reserve is not as active in the economy as it was previously a couple of months ago, do we see economic growth sort of falter in the months ahead?
But does this deal save our credit rating?
It could save the credit rating. It looks like it will. But again, it's hard to tell. I think for the moment, though, credit rating is saved.
Well, because they said we'll save our credit rating if we don't default and if we put in the kind of budgetary measures we need to become.
Well, you have to see the first T-bill auction after this. Really tell the tale.
But the Treasuries really have been doing pretty well through this whole process. I think that this will probably save our credit rating for the time being, but a lot of this, as Todd was pointing out, it puts it to committees. It puts it to automatic votes. I mean, where's the actual decision-making of people that sort of Congress
they
now has—
They make a decision.
Well, Congress now has the ability to be against something but still allowing it to go forward, raising the debt ceiling in the future.
That's Charlie Herriman, economics editor for The Takeaway in WNYC. Todd Zwillick, I want you to make a prediction here. Do you think this is the deal that will get passed by both the House and Senate and signed by the president in time?
To the extent that in the Senate, yes. To the extent that people have the time to pay attention while they're at work today, I urge you to keep your eyes on Republican conference meeting that takes place around noon. When members start coming out of that meeting, we'll know whether Boehner has the votes or whether this has to be tweaked even more. He thinks he has them and he needs them because negotiations are finished to get enough. And then
Pelosi's going to make this deal, Todd.
She's gonna be relied upon to back up whatever votes Boehner can't make in the Republican conference. But you know the minimum number for him, 121, a majority of the majority. You pass a bill that's as major as this without a majority of the majority, you risk your speakership. So that's what's at stake for John Boehner. But he should be able to get that.
And today. The Senate vote is when?
Unclear. It is not scheduled yet. We're looking by sometime the end of today. We're not positive which House is going to go first. It'll probably be the Senate by sometime later this afternoon and then possibly the House by late tonight.
Because we're still on a deadline here. That's Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, and Charlie Herriman, economics editor for WNYC and The Takeaway. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.